الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. أياما معدودات. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: الصوم جنة ما لم يخرقها، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. We've come for our Islah, and with our Islah being made, connection with Allah Ta'ala. Allah has given us, as we have come here in the month of Ramadan, the month is so precious, the ideal occasion to make our Islah. In the month, Allah has revealed the Quran Sharif. In this month, Allah revealed it. The Quran Sharif is more than enough hidayat and guidance for us. Then Allah has prescribed rozas, and that also ayyam ma'dudat. Ulama have written, not too less rozas, that it doesn't have the effect. If a person is supposed to have 1 teaspoon medicine, and he have 1/4 teaspoon, though he's having the medicine, but it won't have the effect. So this rozas, Allah has prescribed a perfect amount, and not also too much. Person is supposed to have 1 teaspoon of medicine, and he has 2 teaspoons. Then also his body won't be able to take it. Allah, who is our creator, who is the knower of everything, just perfectly, ayyam ma'dudat, was majhool. That certain days, fixed days you have to, but which were those days? That was not known. When Allah revealed Aaj Shahr Ramadan, then this now clarified and made tafsir, which are ayyam ma'dudat. So it is this month, 1 month's rozas, 30 days, 29, 30 days, and Allah prescribed to for us through His Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam 20 rakats of roza, of taraweeh. So the ibadat of the day are the rozas, the ibadat of the night is main ibadat of the night is the taraweeh. So we should do that, not just as a formality, we have to do it, but the main ibadat, to do it with our open heart. Try and join every rakat from the start, and with keenness, and especially if we understand the meaning. Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith, Mu'lana Muhammad Zakariya Sahib, Rahmatullah Alayhi, should make many khatams of Qur'an every day. For example, 1 khatam he should make in Ishraq, 1 khatam in Salatul Tasbih, between Zohar and Asr. Salatul Tasbih on its own is a long namaz, and to make 1 khatam in there. And then 1 khatam Hazrat should make. Hazrat was an allama, a great, great alim also. But one, he should look at tarjuma of Quran Sharif also. And then he should understand also more, make it more fresh in one's mind. So that also is one aspect. So there is a lot to be done. Allah give us tawfiq. So, Quran Sharif, Allah has made it a kitab, and then these rozas. So Allah has given us the ideal opportunity. And the rozas, it is if we keep rozas, not just we are staying hungry. For that, what we are discussing, that as the ulama have written, where Allah says, Kutiba alaykum as-siyam, rozas have been made farz on you. One explanation is also on every part of your body. So we must keep the roza of every part of the body. Roza of the eyes also we explained, and that also must be kept, then we will get the benefit. Roza of the tongue also, that means our talking, the tongue, our speech. And that is also an ajeeb qudrat of Allah Ta'ala. We all refer to it that the tongue is watch your tongue, that watch what you speak. But the tongue, one piece of flesh, and a very different type of flesh from the rest of the body also. What is really speech is the air that comes from inside. And then how it is changed with the movement of the tongue, where we put the tongue, etc. And all that then makes the alphabets. And alphabets are joined to make words. Words are joined to make phrases. They are joined to make sentences, paragraphs. a composition, a whole chapter, a whole book. So all this is that air that is coming out and then how it is being turned. So anyway, our speech also, which in itself is to a great, great extent, little bit thought of it, then see the Qudrat of Allah. Nobody of us really are capable, are able to speak. It is only Allah's fadl that a person has to think for himself logically, that to speak one word, how many alphabets in there? And to those alphabets, to pronounce them correctly, and put them in a phrase which makes sense, is really beyond a person. It's only Allah Ta'ala's great help. Even Muslims, non-Muslims, animals that make the sounds also, it is only a great gift from Allah Ta'ala. So anyway, the speech also. Then the ears themselves are a great Qudrat of Allah Ta'ala. And the ear doesn't do the hearing. What can one piece of flesh do? But it is Allah's Qudrat. And the ear doesn't really do the hearing. It comes into the ear, it's sent to the brain. And there it is worked out at what, and at what speed it is being done. Unimaginable speed. As I'm speaking, I'm listening, you are listening. Immediately the word, the meaning of it is in our mind. So how it is working, at what speed it is working, and how accurately. One time somewhere if a mistake is made, big, big accidents are made. If a person didn't hear properly, if a person misunderstood, how lot accidents, how many things go wrong in the world, and the things are going on in the world is running, that 99% things are being understood correctly, and it is carrying on. And after that, there is another type of also precaution in our roza, and what we have to keep roza about, it has also to do with the mouth and not the tongue. The tongue is to speak, but our eating, what we eat. That is also very, very important, what we eat, what we put in our mouth. And this also is ajeeb Allah's Qudrat, that everyone needs fuel to function if we don't eat. And Allah has made it for everyone enjoyable to eat. So a person looks forward to eating. And then with regard to eating, there are quite a few aspects. One is that we have to eat halal food. That is absolutely necessary. It comes in the hadith that we have been what the Anbiya alayhimus salatu wassalam and the special Anbiya, the special higher class, the Rasul, what they have been commanded, the mu'mineen also have been commanded with that. Ya ayyuhar rusul, kulu minat tayyibat. Eat of tayyibat. Ya Allah did not say halal, but tayyibat. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, kulu min tayyibat. Eat of tayyibat, what we have given you. So it is halal, it must be. But more than that, it must be tayyib. It must be halalan tayyiban. It must be halal, it must be tayyib also. The nisbat and connection of this is just like every rasul is a nabi also. But every nabi is not a rasul. The same way, all tayyib food is halal. But all halal food is not tayyib. And if we have come for our islah, and more than that what we want, our ta'alluq with Allah, nisbat ma'Allah. So we have to be more concerned about not only halal, but it must be tayyib as well. The whole ummah has been commanded to have halal and tayyiban. But we are more. And in also the ulama who are higher class, those who are known to be like buzurgs, who are the pious people, for them also they must be more conscious. Not only halal food, but tayyib. It must be halal and tayyiban. Tayyib is that food in which, from the Shari'i point, there is no doubt in it, that a person is convinced. So a person must eat that food. And then secondly, which is healthy, wholesome food. Though it may be even tayyib, but it might not be healthy for a person. So it must be healthy, wholesome food also. So we have to eat that food. And then again, also with that, there are many more etiquettes that where we eat the food. That is also very important. For example, we eat it in an environment of the home where there aren't any pictures hanging, for example. No music playing. No pardagi. On this, in case we forget, there are so many of us who observe parda, who are pious. But whole year we'll observe parda. But each day, then all must sit together and eat. Even the daughters-in-law and the other families from whom there is parda between, we are all expected to sit together. And if we want to make out some solution there, then we say that those that got parda must sit with their niqabs on. Now to sit and eat with your niqab on, that is so, and in your own home or in your family environment. And why put parda is to give a woman freedom, not to put her in difficulty. So the environment must be such, like in the house, the parda arrangement is that a woman in her own house let her move freely. That she is not that if she wants to go from the kitchen to the bedroom, she wants to go to toilet, she must put on a burqa. No, it should be such that she can just go. The whole environment, the setup of the house, the architecture of the house must be such that a woman in her own house, she has got her freedom. So when eating also, now she is expected to put a niqab. And then again, there is some talking that carries on. Very important also with regard to the ear, when we were speaking, hearing. The voice of females, strange females, is also parda. It's not permissible to listen to their voice unnecessarily. And where it's necessary also, only to the extent of necessity. Not that, for example, complaints come that some of our friends make their dhikr with the radio station on. And with the lady, when there's a lady announcer. So they're listening to her voice also and making this that connection with Allah also. It doesn't work like that. How many of us, we doing the wrong thing and we say, make dua for me, my mort must come on iman. As we did explain this, you are on the wrong plane, wrong direction, and you want to make dua, you want to reach the right direction. So we are doing the wrong thing. So we have to be very careful that listening to ladies, the voices of ladies also, even if it is on the phone, even if it is a recorded message, but only listen how much is necessary and which you cannot do without. We go shopping malls with the cashier and making jokes with her. There is absolutely no necessity. Only how much is necessary. And when we want to ask somebody, then look also, ask a male, if you have the option. Why look for a female to ask some direction or inquire about something? Look for a male and you ask him if you have to ask. So the voices of females, and this also, Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam's wives, the mothers of the Ummah, the most honorable. It is not permissible that anyone can even marry the wives of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam after he passed away. They have that great, great position. But Allah Ta'ala also says there that فَلَا تَخْضَعْنَ بِالْقَوْلِ, that don't speak in a soft way. Don't speak in an alluring way. Some of our women also, Allah guide us all, when they speak also on the phone, where is you? Hello! Every person who hasn't got any ideas also. And that is how they speak. And the whole conversation they have in that way. So that is so dangerous. So for the woman also, she must not speak like that. And then Allah Ta'ala says, فَيَطَمَعَ الَّذِي فِي قَلْبِهِ مَرَضٍ, that person who has got a disease in his heart, he will get inclined he'll get other ideas in his mind. So that just the voice of it, whether it's on the phone, whether it's a pre-recorded message, anything, a person must be very careful not to listen also. So the same way with the eating also, that we must see where we eat also. When going and eating out is very, very harmful. And inshallah, we'll try, Allah gift of faith, we'll try and cover this. And the environment which we are sitting and eating in, that if we are sitting where music is playing, where women are talking around, and we are eating there, and we are listening, and we are just like in a free mood, which is the life of the kuffar, their lifestyle. But very sadly, by and large, our lifestyle has become just like that of the kuffar. And that has overpowered our dini lifestyle. The kuffar lifestyle of our dini people has become like that of the kuffar. And we just like them. So we have to be very careful. All that has a tremendous effect. When eating, for example, when the adab of eating, Allah reward our shaykh, he taught us that when eating time, don't speak or don't give any sad news also. Somebody has passed away, etc. Somebody met up with an accident. Don't give it while eating. Because when you are eating, to get the maximum benefit of the food, your body must be relaxed completely. So there should be some light talk when eating. And no serious talk, because then your body is not relaxed. And the body cannot digest that food and take out from the food what it had to take out. This is also another thing. It isn't just that we eat and we go to toilet. When we eat, what the system Allah Ta'ala has kept in the body, all what the body needs, the body takes, stomach takes it out. That's the work of the stomach. And all the waste it takes out again. It sends out the waste. It's not all the food that goes out. And again, what is in the food, what is good for the eyes, what is required, the stomach sends it to the eyes. What is good for the brains, it sends it to the brains. All the parts of the body, it's a fantastic system which Allah Ta'ala has kept and which is working all the time in us, and we are not seeing. We are so blind that we don't see what is happening, not near us, inside us also. And this is happening all the time. So we have to see where we eat, what the environment is. So even if it is halal and tayyiban, but all these things are also still very important in the eating to learn. And it is so sad that we spend our whole life and we did not even learn how to eat. Our eating also we didn't learn. For example, the amount of wastage. One time, some of our friends, there were some visitors, some people, outside people, who also involved in big dini work. So our friends opted to make their khidmat serve them. But when they served them, our friends were very dismayed that the way they eat, the plate, the amount of food left in the plate, around the plate so dirty, whereas we should eat in such a way that around your plate also everything is clean and tidy. When you have finished eating, your plate also. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha says that whenever visitors came and they ate the manfolk and the utensils came, I knew exactly which plate Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, from where. It was the cleanest, completely cleaned out. And the amount of wastage, eating also we haven't learned stuff. We want to be big walis of Allah. And we want to have big nisbat. But we haven't learned how to eat stuff. And many people, when you just see their eating habit, it's a dismay. That amount of wastage, the amount of meat left on the bones, etc. All this eating stuff in the teacup is a way of the non-Muslims that they leave a little bit of tea at the end. Muslims' way that you should clean the teacup also. Don't leave there unnecessarily. And for waste it must go. And all these things, all the greasy and the things that we have left, they go and block the drains then. You clean it up. And also, many of this greasy things, which is the fat, only now lately, in Saudi particularly, they have now come to the point that all the fat on the bones, which is so healthy, which was first just taken like dirt and not eaten. And now they are making particular effort, and all the fat on the bones and which is attached to it, for our body, it is so healthy. Now only people are becoming aware of it. And they are going out of the way to go and eat it now at restaurants. Whereas have your meals properly. All. So eating, we still have to learn a lot. So Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. This is also very important. So we must see that we are eating halal. halal and tayyiban, and we are eating it in the right environment, the right place. And around us also everything must be conducive for the correct absorption of food. Then very important is the amount of food that we eat. Even if it's halal and tayyiban, it doesn't mean now you go to town with it. Halal and tayyiban must be also controlled. Haram is out of the question. What is not tayyib, especially for a person who is looking at dreams of becoming the wali of Allah. And for him, he has to make sure he eats halal and tayyiban. If we are just not concerned about what we eat, whatever we find, and just no matter how, just little some halal, obscure board is there, that it is halal. Somebody just said this is halal. And it is very strange that many years ago, when in somebody had passed the information that I said a certain restaurant in Makkah Sharif, that food you can eat, I hardly knew that place exists. I didn't even know there's such a restaurant. But just to make it that they just use somebody's name, he said, no, that place is all. And that is more than enough for us, justification, we can go and eat there. Whatever they are serving, where the source of that food, nobody is worried whatsoever. And we are in Makkah Sharif, we are making our ibadah. And the things are just way out, everywhere, in the, especially with our eating. Just to sum it up, Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali has written that in Kufa there was a group of Abdal, great, great awliya. And whenever a oppressive ruler was appointed upon them, they should make one baddua and he should be removed. When Hajjaj ibn Yusuf was appointed, the first thing he did, invited him to a meal. And after the meal, he announced, now I don't have to worry of their baddua. Because I gave them haram to eat, now their dua won't be accepted by Allah. One of the main effects of eating haram, our du'as are not accepted. Our ibadat is not accepted. So it is very important that we see what we eat and eat it in the correct way. So as far as, and then again, the sunnah method of eating. Today, many of us will go in jamaat 40 days, 4 months, 1 year. Almost the whole year, we'll sit on the floor and eat. As soon as we come back home, then at least the breakfast we have to have at the breakfast nook. We have to sit at the table and eat. That sunnah of 1 year we forget. We stay here in the khanqah. We are sitting down on the floor. Unless somebody can't help, he's got some handicap and he has to sit on a chair. But otherwise we are sitting. But when we are at home, we just completely forget this. The norm is for us is the kuffar style. And we just, it just automatically revert to the kuffar style. If we come out of it for a little while, we come out. But as soon as we can, we go back again. So the way we sit, when we sit on the chair, and especially if it's with the arm rest, and a person is sitting like a haughty person, that's Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam used to eat, and Sahaba in a squatting position. How when we sit on a flat pan, like that position. And Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam said that I'm just a slave of Allah. We see the laborers when they get their lunch break or something. They just anywhere, they just sit down and they just have their meal. Not a big issue about it. But the way we, the hadith comes, the subject matter in Bukhari Sharif, that if Atama is ready and Isha and Asha, both are ready, what should you have? Should you have your Asha, which is the supper, or should you go for Isha, which is Isha Namaz? Normally we will think that you should go for Isha Namaz is first. But the masala is that if both are ready at the same time, first have your supper. And then the explanation for this is that if you are hungry, and this is for a hungry person, that if you will eat finish, then you'll go for Isha, your mind won't be in your food. Now your mind will be in your namaz. And if you are hungry and you go for namaz, your mind all the time will be in your food. So the students asked Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith, Zakariya Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, when he was teaching this hadith, that in that case you will miss your Isha namaz. You are going to have supper and then you are going to go your whole jamaat will be finished. So Hazrat said, unka khana tumhare baba jaise khana thora tha. Their food wasn't like how you people eat. That you people, to lay the dasturkhan, first of all to set the table, that takes so long. And then all one thing coming and another thing coming. No, there they just set few khajurs, drank water, and the meal is over. So they won't even miss the takbir-e-ula. They will go and they will even get the takbir-e-ula. So in that way, our eating, we have to see many, many aspects. So anyway, the first thing is that we must make sure at least that it is halal. When Ashabi Kahf, when after about 310 years, and that also is an ajeeb calculation, what Quran Sharif has got, 300 years is according to the solar calendar, and lunar calendar 310 years. So how Quran Sharif explained 310 years, it accommodated both calendars, that the solar calendar also and the lunar calendar. Anyway, then they told, now they woke up after 300 years, so they are hungry, so they wanted some food, and they had to send somebody, be waratikum, that is your money which you have got. They kept money. From here, ulama deduce that for tawakkul, it is not against tawakkul to keep some money also. For 300 years, they kept the money also with them. And then they sent them and they told the person to go and see, we have come with aska ta'amukum, the pure halal and tayyiban. Because the time they went into the cave, it was idol worship time. People were worshipping idols. And they should slaughter on the name of the idols. So that food was haram. That meat was haram. So they said, make sure, investigate. From here the ulama deduced that when haram is common, it is absolutely necessary before you eat to investigate. Okay? So today also, when food generally is eaten, the food, the meat that we get, the chicken especially, in our environment, it is all certified halal. But then, is it halal or not? It is necessary that a person finds out. Normally, you go to a Muslim's house, you eat. He's a Muslim. He's not going to give you haram. You eat, it's halal. But when today, when good people also are eating just what is certified halal. And as I was explaining, that just a person says it's halal, just one obscure sign, halal, and it is enough for us that it is halal. And we don't have to find out more. But when that is not the actual case on the ground, and people are generally eating, and what is certified halal, well and good, you got your halal certificate. But then, the slaughterer, which is generally just a little bit of this, that they slaughter 40 chickens per minute. There are two slaughterers generally, 80 chickens, and one misses one and slaughters the other one. So each slaughterer slaughters 40 chickens in a minute, which is an hour, 2,400 chickens in an hour. He works an 8-hour shift. And half an hour he gets off for lunch break. Another hour, half an hour you can allow for toilet, they will allow. So 7 hours, which works out to 16,800 chickens. And if we have to think that in a sitting now we are comfortable, it's not hot for us, it's not cold, we are sitting, everything. To read all the time, 1 hour, Bismillah Allahu Akbar, Bismillah Allahu Akbar. Who of us will manage it? And 16,800 times a day. And if the argument is raised, it is possible that even if you just say Bismillah, the chicken will be halal. But when we are commanded to eat halal and tayyiban, then just Bismillah is not enough. We are required to read Bismillah, Allahu Akbar. And the chicken must be also, there must be, Islam does not allow zulam, oppression, even on animals. The chicken also, and Islam has ordered the best way of slaughtering. And the Islamic way, which today they have proved in their universities, that the best slaughtering way is the way of Islam. That is the best way. So to slaughter that chicken in that inhuman way also. And all the time, who will be able to say all the time, Bismillah Allahu Akbar, Bismillah Allahu Akbar. And if those slaughterers do say it 16,800 times for business, for what they are getting paid, but taking Allah's name so many, 16,800, they won't be the awliya of the time, they will be the abdal and kutub of the time. But they themselves have given to so many people sworn affidavit that we don't read the Bismillah. And they don't make namaz, they don't go for Jummah also. And the effect of 16,800 Bismillahs, Bismillah Allahu Akbar, the name of Allah, Bismillah, the greatness of Allah, Allahu Akbar, that person will be a great wali if he's reading one day if you read. And every day you are reading. So we have to see. And Allah Ta'ala has given us our brains. أَوَلَمْ يَتَفَكَّرُوا Allah, why don't you think for yourself? Use your brain. Allah has given you. Think a little bit. So when this is common, and good people, they just have this. One time, at one place we were going to eat, Maulana's house, so we had no doubt. And with an open heart, we're going to have a nice meal today. But the next, the Kentucky boxes came on the dasturkhan. It was a different thing that in the kitchen they took it out, put it in platters. But the Kentucky boxes came. So when this is the case of Maulana's houses, so a person today, then falyanzur, what's the ayat? Falyanzur ayyuha azka ta'aman. See, be careful what you eat. It is very important today. And if we are in that hope that we are to make our Islah, and you are what you eat. You are what you eat. And on that usually I say that if the parents, they ate, for example, Medina Sharif Khajur, and from there the blood was formed and the semen was formed, and from there the child was born, the child will be a Madani. And if it was Zamzam of Makkah Sharif, the child will be a Makki. And if it is junk food they ate, then the child will be a junkie. It is just naturally. And then we blame the children. It is what we, the raw material we have supplied. Same way with our wife. She is made from the left crooked rib of us. So if she has got bad, we supplied the raw crooked material. Now don't expect the product to be straight. Now tolerate. You supplied the crooked material. Expect and tolerate and accommodate her now your whole life. So anyway, this food also what we eat. So we have to see what we eat. It must be a correct food. So the it must be halal also. And then in today's time, when haram is widespread, and for just one example, previously the Free State, which was known previously in the apartheid government as Orange Free State, and one of the rules were that non-white Indians were not allowed to stay there, business, staying, anything. The most you had a permit to cross the province in a certain time. One person who went there, he saw on a shop right in a remote area, not in a town, just somewhere out in a remote area, halal written. So he caught his eye, so he went there, Muslim man. So he bought, it's halal. So he asked them that, yeah, halal, you people, what does it mean? They say, we don't know what it means. But somebody just told you, just put halal board and you'll see your sales will increase. Like a taweez you put it. You just put it, and what was it? That is what the Muslims are. They just see halal, board, and that is enough for them. And it's a non-Muslim. At least then you should inquire, think, is a non-Muslim selling halal to us? What is it? But we are just today anywhere, and there are so many incidents of this type that we just fall for it. So we have to see very carefully. So we must make sure that the food that we are eating, when I lift my hand, once Maulana Abdullah Barni, Maulana Ashikilai Barni's son, Rahmatullah Ali, explained to us, we were talking the importance of saying Bismillah when eating. Today, that also, many of us, and also on that is another, many Arabs have got this in them, that when you start eating, you just say Bismillah, and the food becomes halal. It can be even pork. It can be slaughtered wrongly. But when you say Bismillah, like when you slaughter, you say Bismillah, it becomes halal. So they got this, that you say Bismillah and everything becomes, how can it become halal? So anyway, so he says, my father taught us, whenever you stretch your hand for something, say Bismillah. Whenever you bring something to your mouth, say Bismillah. One very good person, or Bellam, he has passed away, Allah grant him Jannah. He says once he was in Medina Sharif, and by place of one of our buzurgs, and there were about six people, so he was making tea, pouring tea for six. Every time he put the sugar in the cup, Bismillah, Bismillah. Every time he poured the tea leaves, Bismillah. They poured the water, Bismillah. But today, unfortunately, we whole meal goes and no Bismillah. And see it, if you want to try it out now, Maghrib time tonight, when we go and eat our supper, and see that who of us reads Bismillah. And even at that time, if we are reminded, still we don't read. It's just not in us to read. So Bismillah is very, very important. So we have to see that when we take the food to our mouth, what are we putting? And like a person, for example, nobody will eat dirt. And if you just notice some dirt, you'll immediately your hand will go back again. That first clean it up. Oh, I'm not going to eat this. This is not. Today, so much we have become, brother and sister won't eat one another's leftover. We won't use the glass. Husband and wife won't use the glass of one another. Whereas, shifa'ul mu'min, the su'rul mu'min, shifa'un. The leftover of mu'min is shifa. And food has got an effect of it. If the husband and wife share the meal, love will be made between them. The clear masala is that if a strange man comes to eat, then his leftover food, the woman should not eat it. Though they haven't seen them, they are in the kitchen in most cases. This was in the dining room, in the lounge, they were eating. She hasn't seen him. But the effect of the food is that love will be created between them. So if husband and wife, we don't eat one another's food, then if there is a love between husband and wife, the fights that carry on all the time, between parents and children, brothers, sisters among themselves, fighting, normally it is with our children, fighting like cats and dogs with one another. There should be love, and that is when the food, we are eating it correctly. We learn to share. Also in that, we should try and eat from one thali, one plate. That is the way, our way. But today, everyone, again, that whole kufr lifestyle, everyone for his own has got his own plate. Everyone, today you're going to have like a dini gathering and we're going to eat by somebody's plate. Everyone's plate is separate. His bowl for soup is separate. His cup of tea, his teaspoon, each one has got 10 utensils. And the Islamic way is for 10 people, one utensil. But today, one person has got 10 utensils. How lot of unnecessary extra work. As Mufti Zainul Abidin Sahib Rahmatullah Ali explained, that our lifestyle has become such that now the wife has to go out to work. Everyone, because we Islamic way of life, cost of living is very low. And that also very sad. For example, we go with our friends on safar also. Now, you take off your kurta, it can be just hanged on a cupboard handle, door. It can be hung there, but they have to get it hanger. So it must be done. A hanger must be found. And then it must be hung in style in the cupboard, not just anywhere also. Like there's somebody who came to Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali, and he started doing his thing. Hazrat said, have you come here for my Islah, or have you come to for your Islah? We also have to think, we try to make the Islah of the Sheikh, and bring him more on the dunya lines, more on the kuffar lines. Where there's simplicity. If there's nowhere to hang the kurta, most of our houses are carpeted. And even if its tile is clean, just put it down on the floor. Why do you have to? But we have to have that lifestyle of theirs. In everything, in the fine details, we go in their lifestyle. Everything we want to do as they do. So we have to try and bring an Islami. And a person who comes for his Islam, he must see and he must follow according. Not he must try and impose his way. And our kuffar dunya ways we want to impose on the Shaykh also. That he must also become like us. We go to become like him. That's what we hope, that the deen that he has got. But we want our thing, and we want that. And we want to, that must be dominant. Allah give us understanding. So food also, there is a variety of things. Allah give us tawfiq to try and cover it. And that at least if we learn how to eat properly. If we leave the khanka and we have learned to eat, what to eat and how to eat, it will be a great, great achievement. And that will be the starting point. The food, you are what you eat. That is what will come in us. And then our ideas also. Our thoughts also are governed by the food that we eat. Our actions are governed what the food that we eat. Food is a very important thing. One time, Hazrat Maulana Shah, Masihullah Sahib Rahmatullah, gave a bayan in land. And then he said, everyone, same always, just speak about namaz and roza. Today let me speak on food, which everyone loves. And Hazrat gave about one and a half hour bayan. And what important points about eating. Things that we don't think about, which are supposed to be part and parcel of our lives, but we hardly have an inkling of them, no idea, no thought about them. Allah make it, our islah gets made, and at least our eating we can be corrected. May Allah give us all tawfiq, inshallah.